Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we come to the end of our series, God is Faithful, I want to share something with you that is true for me, and I wonder if you can relate. What I find most shocking about God's abiding faithfulness is that He is most faithful to me when I am least faithful to Him. I marvel. How can my Heavenly Father be so faithful when I can be so faithless? This thought always strikes me deeply when I have sinned and I bring myself before Him in confession and offer repentance. Sometimes, especially in seasons of sin, when I am really battling my flesh, I encounter that troubling thought. Are you really there, God? I articulate, have I really done it this time? Have I sinned so boldly and forcefully that you're done with me? Well, surely by now I have used up all the grace you offer me, and your wrath is going to descend upon me? Well, wrestling with these thoughts and searching the scripture, I have always found Him faithful to assure me of His love, grace, and forgiveness. Let me share with you some verses that He uses to reassure me. Romans 5, verse 20. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The truth is, when I sin, because of what Christ has done for me, God feels no wrath in His heart towards me. 1 John 2, 2. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means satisfaction and appeasement. Jesus has satisfied God's wrath. He has appeased God's wrath on my behalf. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. To be clear, my sin does grieve God. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But He still loves me, and His heart longs for me to confess my sin and to repent so that He can faithfully demonstrate His abundant grace to me. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, my Heavenly Father comes running, embraces me, and kisses me again, offering His full and complete mercy. Luke 15, verse 20, so He got up and came to His father, but while He was still a long way off, His father saw Him and felt compassion for Him and ran and embraced Him and kissed Him. Despite my sin, which is offensive to Holy God, because I am saved and safe in Christ, I am faithfully forgiven, and this amazes me. As believers, we are in an all-out war against our flesh, this mortal body of sin. There are too many temptations to count that constantly come our way each day. It is hard to be faithful to the obedience of Christ. This is why we thank the Lord every day for the gospel, and this is why we preach it, not only to those who have yet to believe in Christ, but we preach it also to ourselves. The gospel is for Christians. All of these texts apply to us. My friends, find in God, during your worst, most sinful moments, His great faithfulness. No wonder we sing from the bottom of our hearts, great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord. unto me. Our text that we have looked at the last couple of days speaks directly to this. Let me reread it, then comment briefly. I'm reading Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Then Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." In the Bible, Esau, from whom the Amalekites descended, Esau pictures our flesh. And just as Israel could not overcome the Amalekites in their own strength, likewise we cannot overcome our flesh by our own might. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 17. "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." In Exodus, the Amalekites are analogous to the flesh. Our flesh is the Amalekite army, fighting against the Spirit, warring against the Spirit. Pick the sin, you name it, we do it. So how can we, the Israelites as it were, get the victory over our flesh? It is by praying to the Holy Spirit. J. Vernon McGee, in his comments on this passage, writes, "Careful observation reveals that the battle was actually fought on the top of the mountain. It was fought by prayer. The battle was not won by Israel's fighting ability because they were not experienced soldiers nor adept at warfare yet. This battle was fought and won by Moses. If it had not been for Moses, Israel would have lost the battle. The important thing to remember is that the Holy Spirit is the one who can give us victory over the flesh. Victory comes as the believer walks in the Spirit. When you and I act independently of the Spirit, Amalek, our flesh, wins an easy victory. You and I will never be able to overcome the flesh. It is only the Spirit of God who can do that." More from McGee in a moment, but that's a key insight. Now in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Well, mark this down. God is going to utterly destroy the flesh one day. Aren't we glad for this? I sure am. One of the greatest joys entering heaven is this: no more sin. There is no sin in heaven. The flesh has been destroyed. Sin has been dealt with in Christ Jesus. Christians are not going to be hauling our flesh to our eternal home. As 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, we will be changed. The text repeats this truth in verse 16. The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Dr. McGee comments, there are three important things to remember. First, God is going to get rid of Amalek. In other words, God is going to get rid of the old nature. Secondly, the Lord will never compromise with the old nature. He will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The third important item is that this constant conflict will go on as long as we live in this life. The flesh and the spirit will always war against each other. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give us victory. And I want to add a fourth insight. I know McGee would agree with me. All the days of our lives, God will be faithful. And He is never less faithful when we sin. God loves us. He demonstrates His love by giving us unreservedly and undeservingly His Son Jesus. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So let us not doubt the faithfulness of the Lord to us when we sin, even grievously, but let us trust in Jesus, whose name is faithful. He will forgive our confessed fleshly sins. One of my favorite songs goes by the title, "He's Never Failed Me Yet." When I was a child, I did childish things. My life was church and all it brings. I'd always hear the old folks sing, "He's never failed me yet." I heard this phrase and I trusted so that one day I would come to know the truth in which those words do hold. He's never failed me yet. I'm grateful for those simple words that I so often overheard, though many memories drift like birds. Some still I can't forget. They come back ringing right on time like bells, so heavenly they chime. That old time phrase, now mine, oh mine, he's never failed me yet. God never fails. He is faithful. Well, join us next time on the radio or the God Is podcast, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.